with you, I want to emphasize that with great care, the secretaries in church have prepared for you the bulletin. There is announcements and everything you need to know right there in blue and red. I wish it was blue and yellow like my football team. And here is a letter from missionary Fred. He went to Egypt and found people that want to study the Bible in their institute. There is a happening that tells you what everything happened in this week so that you can know the topics and so on. And there is an outline of my sermon. Today will be no good because I'm going to preach to you from the heart on this issue without notes. So some thoughts are here today. Just put it there. One day, maybe I preach it in 20 years from now or something like that. All right. What a hope, no? I said this because I want you to read the letters of the missionaries. We support them. You support them. You pay for them. And I want you to read them to see what they're doing. If you have questions, you have the right to question the board of deacons of this church. Nothing is, this is not my church, this is your church. And when you are informed, it's much better. If you turn your Bible to the Gospel of John, I want to address today let me take all my notes from the Bible away here so I can. We did that in the Sunday school class in Spanish. We put all the notes away, and we really enjoy it, tackle questions of life. So I want to address to you today a very important subject. Last Sunday, this month, each December, I always speak about Jesus. Because, you know, in December, we celebrate Christmas. Or like people in Nob Hill told me, this is no Christmas, sir, this is a holiday. And I don't want to argue with them, but I just going to get to them. But, you know, this is it. Last Sunday, we talked about Christ, and we talked about Christ in a very wonderful way because we have the symbols of the Lord's Supper. So it was easy to talk about it. What is the bread? What is the fruit of the vine? And so there was a graphical example of it. Now, today, I would like to remember Christ as John presented in his gospel, in John, and John himself in chapter 1. Perhaps you do not know why John wrote the gospel. The Bible explained by itself, by the way. If you keep on reading the Bible, you find the explanation to anything you want to know. But if you go to John 20 with me in verse 31, then you find the reason why John wrote the gospel. If you read the gospel of John, you will notice that the entire gospel is written about seven stories. Seven miracles, the King James called them signs. In John 20, 31, the Bible said, but these are written, these. Not everything Jesus did, but these. So that means the method of John's gospel is selection. Each author has a different method of writing. And John had the method of selection. He selected. Out of so many miracles of Jesus, he selected seven. So he said, these are written that ye might believe. And that's the purpose of the gospel. Everything he wrote has only one target. That you might believe God. So it's no philosophy. It is a real life story. Now in chapter 1, in verses 1 to 4, the gospel then write and explain to us as a way of introduction to begin with, who is Jesus? Perhaps a lot of questions come into your mind if you are not a believer yet. Who is Jesus? Those guys in Nob Hill, just to, before I can answer why holiday is Christmas, I had to ask them, say, who is Jesus to you? And nobody knows. Nobody knows. Amazing. They go to church, but nobody knows where's Jesus. Nobody knows. So who is Jesus to you? And most they can remember is that, one man told me, one man who was putting some letters away in a box, he said, well, I remember in Sunday school, I went to Sunday school in Salinas, and they told me that Jesus came years and years ago. I said, well, let's figure out how many years ago. He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'm glad that you don't know. He said, because I don't know either, but I know it's about 2000, something like that. But, you know, the Catholic Church has changed the calendars from the Jewish people, and so we lost the calendar when we changed it from the Jewish nation. But it's about 2000, the years that we count. You know, our years are very bad because they have 30 and 31 days and 28, and the years, God only wrote 30 days. Really? He said, teach me. No, I said, if you sit down here and talk to me, the boss will fire you. But I got him really excited. He's going to go home and say, the calendar is no good. You know, it's just something like that. Are you excited about Jesus? I have to get people excited about something and talk about Jesus this holiday. Jesus. Well, what did John have to say about Jesus? Well, if you read, as our brother have read, verses 1 all the way to verse 4, at least there are three things the Bible say over there in the introduction about Jesus. Now, the number one thing that he said is that Jesus is God. Wow. That's striking. Let's see it. John Gospel chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and then I break it apart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you have a Spanish Bible, it's a different German Bible, a different word for the word Word. Because to the Spanish, the word Word means something, and to the Americans and other people means something else, to the German also. So the German Bible and the Spanish Bible have the word verb, el verbo, all right? Because a word doesn't mean anything in Spanish, but a verbo does, because verbo is action. It's action, see? So the word in the original is spelled in this way, logos, lambda, omicron, gamma, omicron, sigma, logos, all right? Which means word, the spoken word. Now, I want you to, this, what is a word? You remember when you went to first grade? You learned that. What is a word? The word is the expression of a thought. Remember that lesson in grammar school? A word is the expression of a thought. And what is a thought? The thought is the evolution of wisdom, what you believe. The Bible said, as a man thinketh, so he is. So I can discover you by listening to you, who you are. That's what psychology does. You pay $250 an hour. He sits over there and says, tell me this story. And you pay $250. You know, it's just amazing. But the Bible said Jesus is God. He was God's wisdom. And the beginning was the Word. He was the expression. In the beginning, nobody else talked from heaven, except Jesus. He's the Word. He's the spokesman. He's the one who speaks. All right? And look at what the Bible said. And the Word was with God. It's not something that was born of God. It's something that was with God. They were one with God. Now, if you want a clarification of that, he was the second person of the Trinity. In other words, when you and I think of people, we think an individual, and then we say, here is so-and-so. And then I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. And it's still Gabriel. See, when the Bible talks about people, the body is one thing. The Bible doesn't talk about the body. The body is going to be gone. Talk about you as a person. As a person, the soul, called the Bible. And so here is this. And the beginning was with God. Now look, I'll show you in John 10. And here in verse 30, what the Bible says. John 10 and verse 30, Jesus made a statement and said, I and my Father are one. People say, how can he be the Father and be the Son? Yes, sir. I'm the Father and I'm the Son. As a person. As a person. Not as a body. As a person. You understand that? You're a person. See, people forgot that you're a person, a person. And as a person, you are, I'm your pastor. I said, that's the personality of the pastor. Then when I deal with Raquel, I deal as a husband, a different way. And then when I was in business, I was the boss. But it's still the same individual, the same body, but different persons. And so he was from the beginning with God. From the beginning of what? From the beginning of everything. Before anything was made, he was there. He was not created by God. Now, verse 1 said, and the word, the voice, was God. Pastor, are you sure that Jesus is God? Now, there is a funny verse in the Bible that took me 2 or 3 years to understand it. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. You know, as a man of science, I try to verify, check and verify. That's before you do something in science, you do this check and verify, check and verify. And this business that Jesus is God took me a lot to get it from me. But I tell you the beauty of this, the person of the Father tells the person of the Son, you are God. It is a shame that some translations other than the King James have ruined the passage. That's what I use here, the King James. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son, talking about Jehovah speaking, unto the Son he said, thy throne, and this in the original, if you use the right original, thy throne, O God. When some people said that the Bible doesn't say clearly that Jesus is God, remember that passage. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. The Father, the person of the Father, tells the person of the Son, you are just like me. You are God. So bluntly, in a way that you and I can, you know, when we tell people about Jesus is God, we're very, very cautious. And John doesn't, you know, waste time. He said, Jesus is God. Who is Jesus, John? Jesus is God. Wow. And he gave us the proof. He's God and the person of the Word. Not as a designer. The Bible never called Jesus the designer. The Bible called God the Father the designer, but no Jesus. Amazing, all right? See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together. Now, let me tell you this. You like wash dishes? I love wash dishes. So my wife cooked, and I think it's terrible to let the wife, after she cooked for you, they have to wash the dishes. So my mother taught me that you need to wash the dishes. In America, it's very simple. You should put it in this wash. Now, I'm very sloppy to put in this washer, so I just wrap up the dishes, put it there, then my wife put it in this washer because they have to go in perfect order, you know, and so. But I tell you, I never saw Raquel stepping. If I'm just have some dishes under the water, I never saw Raquel want to do the same. In other words, we work in team. And that's how God works. God works in team. Whatever the Father does, the Son doesn't. Now, they could do it, but they don't do it. They work in team. You're going to see it at the very end. It's just very beautiful. So here it is. God is the Word. Amazing. Amazing. It's just remarkable. All right. God as the Word, Jesus as God is the Word. He's the spokesman. He speaks and things take place. Remember, Jesus is God. No compromise here. It's not a Baptist doctrine. It is not a Protestant doctrine. It is not a Catholic doctrine. The Bible says Jesus is God. Now, secondly, John tells us, or declares to us, that he, God, is the creator. Look at here, John 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Now, I live in a very privileged place where in my house, you open the door and then you meet a deer, a raccoon, what is it? Turkeys, 30, 40 turkeys, they come to you. I talk to them and say, what are you doing here? They don't ask. My neighbor says, Gabriel, there are no Spanish turkey, they are English. Talk to them in English. And it's amazing. And I look to them. My wife said, what are you doing? You cannot touch it. It's $10,000 penalty if you catch one. It's a very expensive dinner if you get one. Don't touch it. I said, no. I said, Jesus made it. Now my question is, would that turkey, can I cut the turkey and see the cardiovascular system, see is it like mine, and so on? Well, they already did in the university, you know. You go to David University, pre-mega school, and I remember with Miriam, well, checking with me, this and the other. They have the same cardiovascular system you and I have, and so on. They have the same system, actually, that you and I have. The only thing, nobody can make them alive. They just come alive, told me a doctor. I asked a doctor, I said, how a turkey comes? Well, Gabriel, it's an egg first, and there's so many days, and then come, how come up? Who made it come up? So we don't know. That's a good answer. We don't know. Now, Jesus is the creator. And I told him, I know who made it. You do? You'll be a billionaire. Write a book. No, a book's written already. Really? Yes, called the Bible. You want to know it? Right here. Chapter 1 of Genesis. When you want to know how things were made, don't spend money in the library. Just give it to the church and read the Bible. Here it is. All right? Genesis chapter 1. Look at in verse 3. And God said, that God is Jesus, remember? He is the Word. That word God, Elohim there, is Jesus. Because he is the Word. Remember John 1, 1? In the beginning was the Word, the speech. God said, be the light. And the light was there. And then look at in verse 6. And God said, let be a firmament. Let be a division between heavens and earth. And there was there. Look in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. And that happened. And look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and all of these. And look in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Each time you look to the moon, it's, oh boy, God put a flashlight for the night. Isn't that beautiful? And look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life. When you go fishing and you catch a fish, God said, let be that fish. Amazing. God said, how things came up. He said, we don't know. Yes, I know. God said, Jesus said, boom. Come on. He's the creator. Now, you get a human being on the morgue, and you open the human being, and you said, wow, wow, how is this put together? You open a heart, and you see all the arteries and veins and nerve system and the electrical pumping that you never see where it is, but there is an electrical pumping. And you look on it, and you say, wow. And God said. See, all these years, all these 10,000, 14,000 years, 15,000 years, the world is all, the people trying to find out how things came into being. God said. Jesus said. So he is the creator. He is the one who created these things. He is the one who accomplished this. Look at here. John again, chapter 1 in John, and in verse 1 of John, in verse 3, the Bible is clear, is unmistakably clear, and who is the Creator. In verse 3, it says, and without him was nothing made. Is not that something? And without him, there is nothing made. There is nothing. This little ant that you hate so much when you see it in your house. Well, and the yard is okay. And if you get an Argentine ant, be careful. You know, they are red. And they're excited. They bite you. And then inflammation comes all over you. So, but they are Argentine ants, very well known in biology. And you know, and you see them on the grass, it's a good, these ants eat the others. But you see it in your home, you don't like it. God made. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's almost impossible to think God have made all these species, is called in biology, species. You hear the news? There are 47 new species of fish discovered on the ocean. And I said, well, that's nothing. Really? Yeah. Who knows how many millions of species are in the ocean? And we don't know. And as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, there are other kinds of fish. Who made it? God made it. And the Bible said, he said, and was done. Now, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Look at with me in Hebrews, in chapter 1, please, of Hebrews, and in verse 3, because it's very, very important. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at how the author of the book of Hebrews describes this Jesus, who is the Creator. The book of Hebrews says, 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. After he finished the cross of Calvary, Jesus not created anymore. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Romans tell us in chapter 8, verse 34, interceding for us. And I get to that in a minute. But it's not fantastic? He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of God, upholding the universe by his word. When people said, something is going to come from heaven and hit us. I said, no. He said, no. What the law of physics say that? No, it's not the law of physics. The universe ends a different way. How do you know? The Bible tells us how it ends. It's not end by a catastrophic crashing with something. No. And come to my class in Revelation. I say it's $1,000 an hour in the night. And you know, and little by little, remember, one third here, one third over there, one third over there. Remember, God little by little is cutting down the universe. And what's surprising last Sunday night was then chapter 9, the Bible said, and those who remain, believe not. Because it takes an act of God to believe, not an act of man. Well, Jesus is God, Jesus the Creator. See, it's not a light thing, Christmas. It's not just a baby in a manger. It's God, and it's the Creator. But then one more thing. We go back to John 1, and there is one more thing that he says that I think is very, very important. The third reason about Jesus, he said, he is the originator of life. Look at in chapter 1, verse 4. John 1, verse 4. In him was life. life. Soe. And the life was the light of men. The word light, light is the word photo. You know, you say, I'm going to take a photo. Actually, you have to say like the British. They don't say, I want to take a photo. I want to take a photography. Why? Because photography is a combined word. Photo means light. Graphy comes from the word grapho, which means to write. When you take a picture, you write in a paper with light. You learned that in physics, first year physics, okay? Speed of light, the tension of light, the distortion of light, all of this. It's just fantastic. And so I'm telling you, he said, and him was life. And the Bible said, and the life was the light of men. And him was life, said the scripture. Look at 1 John now. Go to a letter in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 with me. 1 John chapter 5 at the very end of the first letter and verse 12. All right? 1 John, if I can get this new Bible open. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. Hear this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So when the Bible say in John 1:4, in him was life, was not this natural life that comes and goes. Is that right? Was not this natural life. Was eternal life. So when you have life from him, you have the possibility of light as well. You see, they said, the text said, in him was light, and the life was the light of all men. And when you have Christ in you, then you have life. And when you have the life of Christ, then you have light about everything. You are no longer confused. You see a woman, and you say, it's a woman. You see a man, and you say, it's a man. Amazing. And you see somebody who is sick, and you say, that person could be sick. See, you have the light of God. You know, when you see government, you see corruption. Because the Bible said, government, all corrupted. That's what the Bible said. There is no one government in the scripture that was holy, except when God was the government, remember? And Moses talked to God. We learn on Wednesday night, we read the Bible here. And there were chapters we read in God talking to Moses. Wow. That was government. The rest, soul crooks. They doesn't matter who they are. American, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. They're all crooks. They have a heart who is evil. And unless you have life from God. Unless you have life. See, and he was life. I mean, everlasting life. Let me show you something in Ecclesiastes 12. It's very important. In the book of Ecclesiastes, after the book of Proverbs, you go in your Bible and you get Ecclesiastes. And on the very last chapter of Ecclesiastes, all right, and look at what they said in verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. The Bible said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. You see, your spirit needs to respond to God. This body of ours is going to be gone. If you do cremation when you die, it's just a handful of dust. That was your body. But no, the person. The person is in the presence of God, either to give an account of your life or to be redeemed forever and be with him forever. And so the scriptures are very clear and very remarkable. He is life and he is light. When you have him, you have everything you need. When you have Christ, as John described it, it's just extraordinary. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God. In the expression of the word, he was the spokesman. Everything you see, and I'm not dreaming, I'm just reading the Bible, everything you see was created. When you buy a book of medicine, the only thing you learn in that book is how things are made. The book of medicine doesn't explain to you where they came from and how was constructed and who gave life to that egg or that woman. No, they just experience and see, and more they experience, more they learn how things were made. But the outer of that is the Word of God. Christ, look at these plants. Aren't they beautiful? God made it. Jesus made it. He said, let it be. The herbs of the earth, the plants that were made. He's God. Now, he's the creator. unquestionable, unchallenged creator. Everything you look in the Bible tells you about everything, even the future thing that perhaps will come in. It's just an amazing thing. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator. But the most important part of John, as he described it in verse 4, is that in him was life, and he was the light of man. He was a spiritual life, and then when you got a spiritual life, then you understand things. Now, a man in North Hill told me, you know, whatever you speak, I don't understand. I said, I know. You know? Yeah. I don't expect you to understand. When my grandmother talked to me about God and I was 12, I don't understand anything. I only listened because chocolate was burning and I wanted to eat chocolate. We don't buy this little piece of chocolate here. We buy the little chunk from the tree and then you burn it and you become bitter and good. And I said, you know, it's just amazing. This is amazing. And I know why you do not believe. And I know perhaps why you do not believe. Let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. This is why we cannot believe before. Look at what the Bible said. But the natural man. You know, we were reading this text in Spanish, and I got a Bible from Rome. Ada is not here? No. One of the girls took it home to show her husband. A Bible from Rome, blessed by the Pope, and wet with the things on. It's just. But you know what this text said? Let me tell you. It said, but the man who thinks psychologically, said the translation of that Bible. The man who thinks with his human psychology, this is what the Bible says. The man who thinks with his human psychology receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritual discerned. In the Catholic Bible is a little stronger. He is a beast and stupid, said the Catholic Bible, because he's a natural man, equal to a man. Wow. That was me. I'm not offending you. That was me before God gave me life and found in him life. And when I got life from God, then I got understanding. Let me show you in the Bible a passage where a man was tough as can be. He wanted to kill the Apostle Paul if he could. But then he was transformed. And he was transformed. He had life from heaven. Let me show it to you. Acts chapter 16. Go with me. Acts chapter 16. Let me read for you this story so that you know the panorama and you know what's really happened. Acts 16:16. Now you're going to learn now the application of John 1:4. And he was life and he was the light. When you got the life from Jesus inside you, then you got the light of God. Look at here, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, we is Paul and Silas, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, a certain young lady, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. You know, somebody used this girl to make money. Verse 17, the same followed Jesus and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which is show unto us. As the way of salvation. And these did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their profit was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drove them into the marketplace unto the rulers, unto the authorities. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. See, when you touch people's pocket, you're in trouble. They will say evil things about you. And poor Paul and Silas, verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So here it is. Here is the jailer, elite soldier. He said, all right, guys, sorry, but you are dangerous to society. Go to the end, and they lock him to the floor, okay? Now, this jailer is watching over there because if they escape, he loses his life. So here's a man who has no life from Christ and has no light. Look at what happened. And here is the story. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas pray and sang praises unto God. You know, what is the hymn in Israel? The Book of Psalms. So they were reciting the Book of Psalms. And the prisoners heard them, verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we all are here." Now something miracle happened, and the man understood, if those guys go out, I better kill myself, because he had to pay for his life. And Paul said, don't do that. We are all here. See? So verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He knew something was different. And brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, that word "sir" means that something happened in his life. Before he questioned God, before he cared less about these people who were godly, now they're "sir." Is it what God does? He penetrates your life, and you have a rebellious child, and you pray and you pray and you pray. One day that child changed. God does it. You have a stubborn husband who do not believe, and you pray for him, and you serve him, and you love him, and you really care for him, like 1 Peter 3:1 said, and one day, 20, 30, 40 years later, he believed. Yeah, it happened. It took a man 68 years. He believed. See, God is in business of giving you life. Now, when you have life, you're a different person. You understand things in a different way. Look at how he understood this man. Verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved? Sir, now I really want to be with you. What can I do?" "Oh, follow Bethel Baptist Church rules." No. Look at verse 31. Look at how simple. Verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Did this man have photo light? Did this man have? Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You know, fantastic. You see the process? The life came from Christ. Now you have a different photo. You have a different light of things. And then you start believing and believing and believing. Jesus is that life. It is not a book of history. It is not a book of poetry. It is not a book of chemistry. It is not a book of science. It is Jesus. It is this book. You read this book, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hearing Jesus. And when you got it, you got life. He, Jesus, is the originator of life. You will never understand anything in this world, also about yourself, until Christ is in you. When the Spirit of God penetrates your life, then you become a different person. And anything that happened to you is nothing compared to the joy and the power and the ability to say, "I'm here, God, and I love you." You love the impossible. And you do the impossible because you have life. See, Jesus is God. People say, that's a philosophy. No, sir, that's a fact. Jesus, the creator. That's a proof. Jesus gave you life. Now you are the proof of life. You are the proof of life. When you behave like Jesus and move by the Spirit of God in you, then you are proving to the people that you have light. And if you have light, then it means you have life. There is one more. I know I have until 12:10. There is one more I want to share with you. A lot of people say, Pastor, pray for me. I say, well, yeah, I will. And the Bible commands to pray for one another. Remember the Old Testament? It was hard. It was hard to pray. But in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the high priest. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that there is no other person that we should go. No other person that we should really do things. Because he is our high priest. And the Bible called Jesus the high priest. The high priest. Can you imagine that? The high priest, the one who goes into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, and he takes your prayers and my prayers. So don't ever pray to a man or to a woman called virgin or whatever. Don't pray. You are violating the scripture. You need to pray to God in the name of Jesus, said the Bible. And we do it by saying, God, this prayer of mine has a certification of the high priest. And God will accept it. May God this Christmas give you the satisfaction and give you the strength and give you the power to say within yourself, this God of mine is Jesus. Anything he has made is perfect. Sin destroy it, but it's perfect. It's still one day going to be perfect. But the most thing that I appreciate about who is Jesus is that he gave me his life and gave me his light. And so now I understand my wife. Now I understand my husband. Now I understand my children. Now I understand evil. And there is one thing I need to do. I need to show Jesus love to overcome everything. No longer the law. Remember Moses, John tell us in 1:18, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 1:18. So my friend, this blessed Christmas, check your heart. Do I really believe? Because if you really believe, you have light and you understand anything. You open the newspaper and you smile. You understand. The media are making a mockery of this golfer. I wonder if I look into the heart of all these media people, what do I find? Don't make a mockery of anybody. Check your heart. Check your heart. It is because of God that we are not the same. It is because of his grace that we don't make a mess of our life. And if you want your children really, really stand, I tell you, let them have life from God. Last Friday night, about 12 midnight in Boston, Jacqueline closed the broadcast from Boston University. She closed the broadcast in prayer and she said, this is the only time in the history and the 180 years history of this school, they allow a Christian broadcast from the school. May God restore, she said, the seminary that this school was back to its feet. And may God give me another 6 months more to broadcast Jesus as Savior and Lord. And she prayed. And I called it right away. And I said, there is no greater reward for this grandfather than to hear from the lips of a tiny 21 years old girl that she knows, in spite of his degrees and education that she will have, in spite of everything, the greatest thing for her life is the life and the light of Jesus. Parents, it is not the doctor degree of your children that really counts. It is their belief. Doesn't matter. They become doctors or garbage collectors. In my town here, they earn $65 an hour. That doesn't matter. What really matters is that your children may have life and life from God. Thank you, Father, for the marvelous and wonders of your love. Thank you that when we place the question, who is Jesus? We can say he's God, he's the creator, but more than anything else, he's life eternal, and he is the light of my life. Lord, help us to pass it on. Help us to tell others with love and compassion that Christmas without Christ is empty, but Christmas with Christ is full of glory. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Beacon burning in the Thank you, Tricia. Will you stand for the benediction, please? Our Heavenly Father, we just look upon the Scripture and we saw the certainty in the Bible of who Jesus is.